The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Fantastical Friday, as we think we are broadcasting from the Spoon Studios for the last time, at least for a little while. This will be broadcast number 35, by the way. Monday, we are planning on being back in the home studio. In the meantime, I'm going to spend a few minutes today talking a little bit about giving, but don't be scared. I promise, I'll play nice. Also, we're going to talk about where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty, and that's a bummer for legalistic Larry. And finally, the scriptures talk about two groups of people. Which one are you and I in?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? The way to reach us today is to text us, 214-210-8483. We're going to throw out a trivia question. I want you to get ready. We're going to throw out a trivia question. I'm going to keep it super easy just to start with, okay? There were 10 virgins who were waiting. 5 of them had one thing and 5 of them didn't. What did the 5 have that the other 5 did not? Ooh, 214-210-8483, that's where we're going to start it out with. I do want to let you know if you want to ask a question, if you have something you want to share, if you have praise reports, anything like that, we try to coordinate that into the show at some point, if not today, some point next week, some point the week after. Keep in mind, you can ask us anything you want. The reason is, why? Because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's just me and you and the audience. We do the best we can. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Trivia question on the board. 10 virgins. 5 had something, 5 did not. What was the difference? Uh-oh. Going to leave that right there. Don't forget about our DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord. N, never be ashamed. A, always be ready. Those are the building blocks. The building blocks of our Christian walk, no matter what your situation is. Draw closer to the Lord. That's D. N, never be ashamed. Ever be ashamed. Never be ashamed of the words of Jesus or of Jesus Christ himself. And A, always be ready. Be prepared to be used as an instrument of the Most High God. That's our DNA. Keeping that as simple as we can. A couple things to run by you. I got a couple of prayer requests and a couple other things I want to get to as well. I do want to let you know it's National Bike to Work Day. Just so you can know, from this house to the studio, 37 miles. Probably not going to happen. National Chocolate Chip Day, though, that I'm all about as well. Get this. It is National Sliders Day, which is a White Castle restaurant hamburger. I have a frozen one in my refrigerator, in my house right now, in the freezer. I have a White Castle box. Bring flowers to somebody day. NASCAR day. You got to like that. National Pizza Party Day. I mean, that's the whoever came up with that, those are the people I love. And then Shades Day. It's Shades Day for, you know, like shades, like sunglasses kind of thing. On this day in 1928, it had the first appearance of Mickey and Minnie Mouse. Along with that, on this day in 1940, so just 12 years later, was the first McDonald's that opened up in San Bernardino, California. Is that just a coincidence? Yes, it is, but I thought I'd ask the question anyway. In 1970, the Beatles made their last album, Let It Be. It was released on this day in 1970. In 1987, on May 15th, the worst movie ever made. It was called Ishtar. The film would become synonymous with box office flop. It starred Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman, and if you remember it, you know why you wanted to get your money back. Just be honest. All right, I need some prayer for me and some directions that we're going. I'm working with some professors at the university that I'm doing my PhD at, and I'm having a harder time nailing down the PhD thesis process than I want to be. So I just need some prayer to be patient because that's not my strong suit. I'm sorry about that. So please pray for me. I don't want to pray for patients because I'm not a doctor. No, wait. I don't want to pray for patients in the sense of I don't want the Lord to, you know, to put me through another trial that creates more patients than me. I'm already going through many of those. I just need to slow it down, you know, kind of like on this show. All right. Let me take a moment. Remind you, of course, the trivia question that's on the board. There were 10 virgins, 5 had something, 5 did not. What was the difference? Text 214-210-8483 as those answers are coming in. I want to talk to you about something because somebody in our audience named Sheila gave, and she wrote a wonderful little note, and I want to bring this up not to get you to give to me, okay? I can't stress this enough. I can't. You know, if I could climb through the phone and hit you on the head like the Three Stooges used to do, you'd get this. I want people to have a right spirit, not just whatever we're doing. Whatever you're doing, wherever you're doing it, when you're hearing something where they're asking for money, I want people to have a right spirit. And there's so much cynicism in society. There's so much doubt, and the truth is, I gave to a bunch of things about 4 or 5 months ago. I decided I was going to do this spread out giving process, so I gave to like 10 different places as opposed to like the 2 or 3 that I normally do. One of the places I've gotten something in the mail for solicitation from them, I think every 5 days. They've spent more money sending me mail trying to get me to give more than anything in the world, which drives me crazy, by the way. So I want to talk about the right spirit in giving and the right attitude and how it should be. 1 Chronicles 29:9 says this, "Then the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly, for they made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart. And King David also rejoiced greatly." Everybody's familiar with the passage about a cheerful giver, but here's another one in 1 Chronicles 29:9 that talks about people rejoicing when they're giving. I've actually been in a church, believe it or not, in Temecula, Arizona. It was fantastic. I was writing a paper with regarding the pastor and some of their background. And they, when they did their offering, they blow trumpets, and they have people dance, and they go crazy before they give the offering because they think that giving should be a joyous occasion. And they pull it out of 1 Chronicles 29:9. I don't got a problem with that. I mean, I wouldn't do that every week, but I think it was hilarious. Made an impression on me. So I'm going to give you 5 quick rules. 3 of them are in this scripture. 2 of them are my own. Just be aware of them. Maybe this will be helpful in your giving life. Because giving in the Old Testament and giving in the New Testament are completely different. Because in the Old Testament, the taxes that you pay in government, that was built into some of the giving back in the old days. So it's not even the same planet. But let's keep it simple as New Testament Christians. Number 1, no guilt. Never be manipulated. Never be drawn in by the sob story that tries to just play on the heartstrings, because that's just a guilt play, and you don't want to be giving out of your guilt movement, and let the Holy Spirit lead you. And that's number 2. You've got to be led. Not every appeal is something you're going to be able to respond to. It doesn't mean the appeal is bad. Doesn't mean the giving opportunity is bad. But it does mean that unless the Lord enables you to give to every one of those, You're going to have to pick and choose. You're going to have to use wisdom. You're going to have to be a good steward of your funds. And you do this with the Lord. You walk in this with God. And so the first one is don't ever function out of guilt, and the second one is be led by the Spirit, because you will not, in every appeal, most likely you will not be able to respond to every one. The third one is what these people did. The people rejoiced, and I will tell you right now, you're going to hate this statement, but laugh about it. It's only money, because in 80 years, it will only be money, and it won't matter to you. The people rejoiced because they offered so willingly. So it's because the people wanted to. I am telling you right now, you have to have the desire. God's looking. People give and they go, well, we do it because, you know, we're told to do it and we have to do it. And they do it with resentment. They can't figure out what's going on. Well, God knows that they resent it. And that's the third portion in this passage. It says the people rejoiced because they had offered so willingly. They made their offering to the Lord with a whole heart, which means no hidden resentment. You can't be resenting that you're giving. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is because the opportunities for give are just going to increase. Between now and when the Lord returns, it's not going to diminish. It's going to go up. And so you need to have a discerning spirit, a discerning mind, a discerning heart in connection with the Lord, in partnership with the Lord. Look, you're the steward of what the Lord has given you. And the reason I bring all of this up is because Sheila wrote this beautiful note. And she gave a check. She'd rather do it like through the mail, which is entirely up to the people. And she wrote this wonderful note. It was a blessing. And you can just tell she gave from this spirit of just this joyous, rejoicing spirit, and that she wanted to do it, and she did it joyfully. And that came through to me and made me give thanks to God. And that's the result of genuine, sincere giving, which Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 9, that true giving results in praise and glory and honor to God. You would be amazed that people give out of such a grudging spirit that nothing happens. Like, well, of course nothing happens. Everybody's being kind of mean about it. When you give with the right heart. I don't care if you give to this, but wherever you give with the right spirit, a right attitude, a stewardship attitude. Do it joyfully and rejoicing, knowing that you're blessing others and helping promote. And even if that money is mismanaged, which I've had the displeasure of witnessing, God knows you gave it to him and his kingdom in sincerity and in truth. Never forget that. So just letting you know that there's a right spirit and a right way to respond to giving, to offerings, to appeals, to whatever they are. But no guilt, be led, rejoice, be willing, and have a full heart involved in the process, okay? And the answer to the trivia question was oil. They had lamps, and five had oil on the lamps, and five didn't, and that's a big difference, and that's a big lesson. Make sure you got the oil. That's important. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing, except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
John 7:24, stop judging by mere appearance and make a right judgment. That's all good. For 1 Corinthians 6:2, do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases? You can't say Christians can't judge. They're commanded to. Here it is right here. Ready? Here's the bowling ball knocking down the pins. Every day as Christians, we have to judge what is appropriate, proper, healthy, and useful. Also, what people we believe we should hang out with, trust, believe in, or let influence, we have to judge that on a regular basis. When you choose your church, you're using your judgment abilities.
Bazinga.
I love that. Because listen, when you're choosing your church, you have to decide to pick one over another. Oh, here's the key. You're going to hate me. Ready? Here it is. If we have no ability to judge, we can't vote.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Who was that madman? That's all I could say. You know, you can reach out to the show, 214-210-8483. You can do that with a prayer request, a praise report, or trivia. And I got one for you right now. There are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Which of the four Gospels was primarily directed to the Jewish people out of the four Gospels? There was one that was written with the Jewish people in mind. One of the four. I'll let you figure that out and let me know. 214-210-8483. That is where you want to text. 214-210-8483. Which, when we get into the studio next week, we're going to keep using text, plus we'll use the phone call-in. We're going to try and do both. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. We finally put up all of the specs in order to create your own planet. You just got to go on the website and find it, and it's somewhere in there. You just got to look real hard. Hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Next week I'll tell you that it spits out money. Email david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Like I said, that's what the federal government uses. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our ministry partner.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, smoke, wind, and flood cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services all across the board in the entire state of Texas and probably soon to be Oklahoma. Clint and his fantastic crew at Mr. Restore. Now, you have to appreciate this. MrRestore.com. That's their website, right? They are in an emergency situation. They are able to respond on site within 60 minutes. They have thousands of happy customers. They work with all the insurance companies. They're A-plus rated. They have advanced drying technologies, free evaluation. But the most important part about this is that these people actually, I know it's amazing, but they actually care about what they do and what their reputation is, and they make sure that the job gets done right. If you've got a house, a church, an office building, an apartment, doesn't matter what it is, and it needs some restoration work, Mr. Restore. And if you tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience, they'll smile. Bottom line is they're also connected. It's kind of funny. They're also connected to the Adaptive Training Foundation, which works with people that have severed limbs and have no hope. And they work in such a way that nobody who goes through their program pays for it. So we really support that. We support Clint in that. We think it's a great thing. Mr. Restore is really behind that. Check out the Adaptive Training Foundation. They work with people with one, two, three, or four limbs that have been severed and give them hope and drive. I love that. All right, so the trivia question on board is simply there was four Gospels written, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Which one was directed towards the Jewish people? Just all that I'm going to say. I'm going to answer that at the end of the segment. So yesterday I was I don't know if perusing is the right word, but I'm using it. I was going through Facebook, and somebody had this really long post, and these two Christians were having it out, and they were discussing a really kind of ridiculous legalistic issue. And I don't know who else. I mean, there was probably, you know, they probably have access to 500 people between the two of them, and all they were doing was demonstrating what legalism can do and why people kind of make fun of things. And the problem with this is it was just a terrible witness. I snoozed them both for 30 days because it's like, no, don't go down that road. And so here's the, and you think, well, why didn't you just respond? Because that would just feed into a fire and a frenzy that was going crazy. Here's the biggest thing to remember about staying away from being legalistic, okay? Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish? Now, this is Paul, who's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit, leading and guiding him to write without him losing his personality. He's writing as the Spirit wants him to. And so he says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now going to be made complete by the flesh? This would be like somebody who's writing Holy Writ, and the first three chapters the Holy Spirit is influenced, and then in the fourth chapter they just decide, well, I want to add something because I have a really nice poem. It's like, this is a bad idea. In fact, it's called foolish. Are you so foolish, he says. When we start with the Spirit, which is the very essence and power of God, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Trinity, equal member of the Trinity, a person. You say, well, why do you say the Holy Spirit's a person? Because in Acts chapter 5, it says Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've checked with your electricity lately, but you can't lie to your lamp. You can only lie to people. And so the third member of the Trinity, this is how it starts, comes through the cross of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit regenerates your heart. You become born again, not of water, but of Spirit. The Lord engages you. You are thrust into the spiritual world. All of a sudden, you're alive, and you're moving forward. And because you don't know what's next, you decide, I think I'll throw in some rules and some regulations and some standards, and this will make it like everybody thinks that I'm super spiritual. And now they call you a Pharisee. Because that's what happens. What happens is people start moving in the Lord, and then because they don't know where it's going, even though Jesus said, if you're born of the Spirit, you know, the wind blows where it wants. You're just going to follow and go along. They want to have such a structure that God has to fit in the box. And the problem with that is it's legalistic, and it kills the work of God because it increases the work of the flesh. You can't start off with God and then finish with human effort. Your salvation can't start with God and you finish it. Doesn't work that way. This applies not just to our walk, but also to our work, our circumstances, our lives. We start off with God. It's not going the way we think it should go. What do? We take over. Want an example? Oh, I love to. Abraham is the most fantastic person of faith in Scripture. Love Abraham. Got a promise from God. Everything's going great. He followed the Lord, went where he was supposed to go, waiting on that promise of Isaac. 25 years between promise and fulfillment. In the meantime, him and Sarah come up with a plan. Most specifically Sarah, but him and Sarah together. Let's create our own child. Not the child of promise, and this will fulfill God's plan. The result of that was Ishmael. Great job, guys. That's what happens when you create an Ishmael. And that Ishmael becomes a problem. And so what we do is we try to add to what God is doing in order to fulfill what we don't know is happening. And then you fall into this legalism. Have you ever noticed that there's the Ten Commandments that are given to us on Exodus, and then the Ten Commandments of your church?
You think that's funny? It's true. Many churches have a hidden Ten Commandments. And it's like the idea is, stop that!
Where the spirit of the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And one of the things that we do is we quench the spirit when we take over and insert rules and regulations. A definition for religion about 20 years ago, before they changed it in the Webster, but 25 years ago, before they changed it in the Webster Dictionary, was rules and regulations established by man. That was one of the definitions. That would be exactly right, because that's what happens. When you start off in God and you don't know where the next step is, you insert rules and regulations and become legalistic. Don't do that. Don't become so legalistic that you can't be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Don't try to put God in a box. He's not a genie, so you can't put him in a lamp. He's not Santa Claus, okay? He's not the Grinch. He's none of that. He's God Almighty, King of the Universe. He'll do what he wants. Don't try and define how he has to act. And the argument that these two Christians were having was defining how God has to act. I just wonder what God would have said. Like, you're both, like, not really getting this. It's like, the idea is to understand that God starts this process in you and I. God is in the middle of this process with you and I. And God will finish this process with you and I. This isn't about you and me telling God how to do it. This is about you and me going, yes, Lord. And what if the thing that God asks us to do is different than the customs of our lives? Would we obey? Peter was in that exact situation when he had the vision that God had given him, where the sheet came down from heaven and there was all those animals in there, and the Lord said, "Kill, go up, kill, Peter, get up, kill and eat." And Peter's like, "No, I'm not going to do that." And then God says, "What I have called holy, don't you call unholy. What I've called clean, don't you call unclean." And the idea in that whole process is Peter, with his traditions, wouldn't move in a certain direction, and God said, "Knock it off. We're taking the gospel everywhere." But Peter didn't get that. His traditions were so locked in, he had to have that happen 3 times. It's like, you think, wow, well, that's really hard. Yeah, it's hard to do it perfectly, and you probably won't do it perfectly, but that's the great thing about the Lord. He knows that. He works with you. But you don't revert into rules and regulations and traditions that try to squish God out and make everything super simple in your mind. You go, get it, with the flow. Get it? You go, okay, with the flow. All right? Okay.
Love stuff like that.
All right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel that was written to the Jews was Matthew, and that is actually why it is listed first in the New Testament, to the Jew first, then to the Gentile, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. All right, you can take a break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here in KAAM 770, the Christian station. Short break, and then we'll be back.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him, and here's what I know. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He has 3 children and almost 5 grandchildren. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations and a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theology studies. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot.
It's not a dissolver that will take stuff off. It's spot on, not spot off.
If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people were going to have to listen to find out. The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I want to let you know if you want to reach us text-wise, 214-210-8483, 214-210-8483. I'm going to ask you another trivia question, but I do want to explain a little bit about the Matthew thing, because there might be, you know, somebody saying, well, how do you know Matthew was more written to the Jewish people than like Mark or Luke or John? Because Matthew doesn't explain any of the Jewish traditions, and Matthew's the first one that ties the whole process through King David and through Abraham and shows the line of the messianic process, which for the Jewish people, the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah was the key. So that's a big reason to understand that. This is part of the study and part of the stuff that you kind of get to. So with that, because I'm just that nutty, with that, I'm going to ask you a question about the New Testament. How many books / letters are in the New Testament? That's my question. 214-210-8483. Just be aware that my next trivia question is going to be very hard. 214-210-8483. I do want to remind you about our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. You're welcome to go there. Check it out. We think it's a blessing. We think it's cool. I built a lot of it, so I would think that because I'm narcissistic that way. Email David at hemustincrease.org. The good thing there is that if you go to hemustincrease.org, you will find out that you can just fill out a form and you'll still get the same email to me, so it doesn't matter. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry, and YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner. Our very own Kimberly Ellis from Fathom Realty does a fantastic job helping people, first-time buyers, experienced investors, foreclosures, short sales, doesn't matter where you're at in the process. She will help you. She will answer any questions that you might have. She loves to serve. She's got a servant's heart. You reach her by calling 903-48-HOMES. That's 903-48-HOMES, 903-48-HOMES. See, the H-O-M-E-S is for homes. See that? So 903-48-HOMES. Kimberly Ellis, willing to help you, ready to help you, able to help you, wanting to help you. Get in touch with her. Tell her you heard it on the David Spoon Experience. I mean, she would appreciate that. Bottom line is her and Tony, great Christians, great couple in the Lord. Really, really blessed to have a good relationship with them. All right, so the question on the board for trivia, for those that might have missed it, how many books, just call them books, how many books? See, Biblos means the books, and it's pretty simple. How many books in the New Testament? The only hint I'll give you is there's more in the Old Testament than there is in the New. If you haven't figured that out, you haven't picked up your Bible for a while. How many? Go ahead and text 214-210-8483. You know I'm just having some fun. So please keep me in prayer, by the way. So I'm going to be talking after the show to, or at least having some communication with one of the professors trying to work through some of these issues. It doesn't seem like a big deal, but to me, if I'm committing, you know, 3 to 4 years to it, I want to have it. I want it to be synced in the Lord. I won't do it if I'm not comfortable, even though the Lord's opened the door, if I don't have peace of mind, I won't stay in it. I'm just going to use 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 12 and 13, which is exactly what Paul said. Okay, now, get ready. There are two groups of people. And in the beginning, I did an intro and I said, which group are you and I in? And you're thinking, why are there two groups of people and what do you mean? Thank you for asking me. I appreciate that. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28 through 29 says this, "Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as then the child born according to the flesh persecuted the one born according to the Spirit, so also now." Did you get that? "Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise, but just as then the children born according to the flesh persecuted the one born according to the Spirit, so also now." There are two distinct groups of people. Jesus called them sheep and goat. There was a saying for the one around, the popular song, "We are the world, we are one." And it's like, no, we are not all one. That's an absolute lie. You're thinking, no, well, we're all humans. We are not all the same with the Lord because there are some that are sheep and some that are goats. In fact, Jesus made it even more clear when he told the Pharisees, "You're of your father, the devil." So for anybody who's going, no, Jesus thought everybody was one. He just accepted everybody and didn't say anything to anybody. Somebody should read Matthew 23 where he literally insulted the Pharisees 14 times. 13, 14, or 15. I can't, it kind of varies depending on which translation you use. The point is, there is a distinction. There are those that are his and those that ain't. Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. There are those that are in and those that are out. There are two different groups. But the one born of the Spirit is in one group and the one born of the flesh is in the other group. How do you tell the difference? If you can't tell the difference, you're not born in the Spirit. Because if you're born in the Spirit, you know what the difference is. They can't stand Christians. They can't stand Bible believers. They can't stand people that say, "Born again, what's that?" That's your spirit in you that in our nature was dead because of Adam and Eve and their sin that has to be revived or born again in order to fellowship with God. And so group one, just so you can know, slave to sin. The law is in a sense their ruler. The flesh is their mode of operation and their influence. And that's the key. You can tell when somebody's born of the Spirit and somebody's born of the flesh because the flesh, that's how they operate. It doesn't matter if they have to lie to get where they want to get to or if they manipulate or if they unjustly court. That doesn't even matter. They don't care. And that's part of the problem. And their abode is Mount Sinai now, which is an earthly location. The whole point is they're stuck on earth. We're a heavenly people. We look for the new heavens and the new earth. We're not thinking, oh, it's this earth. Well, it's all messed up, but maybe God can put some iodine on it and make it better. No, we want the new heavens and the new earth, which are referenced 4 times in Scripture. We're group two. We're free from sin, from its power and from its penalty, and soon to be from its presence. You're free from the penalty of sin because of the judicial work of Jesus Christ. You're free from the power of sin because of the sanctifying work through the cross by the Spirit. And when you're in heaven, you'll be free from the presence of sin. And the Holy Spirit is our mode of operation and influence, not the flesh. Not what's just going to make us feel good, but what's right before God, the way that God wants us to walk, the way that God influences us. And above all of that, our location is above, a heavenly location. This is not ours. We're strangers. The Scripture says in Hebrews 11, 13 through 16, we're strangers and aliens. You want to know if there's aliens on the planet? You bet. You're one of them, if you're a Christian. That's why you can never quite seem to fit in here. Because you can't. Because it doesn't work. Because you don't fit. You and me, we're Christians. We're children of promise. We're children of the Holy Spirit. And those of the other people of the flesh, they're anti-Bible, anti-Jesus, anti-Christian. Those aren't true kids of the King. Most of those have secular religions. They're children of the sin. They're children of sin. They're children of the flesh. And as it was then, so it is now. The children of the flesh persecute, prosecute those that are of the Spirit. And you think, wow. You mean when I signed up to be a Christian, I kind of jumped into one group or another, and not only did I get the best friend in the world, I got the worst enemy in the world, and not only that, but more than half the people will hate me? Yes. Somebody asked me, are more people going to go to hell than heaven? Yes. You think, well, doesn't that mean Satan won? No, all of us who go to heaven win. That's what it means. And you think, how can you say that? Because Jesus said, narrow is the path that leads to life. Wide is the road to destruction. And you think, is it worth it? The sons of the slave will never, this is verse 30 in Galatians 4, for the son of the slave will never inherit with the son of the free woman. In the end, it's worth it. Why? Because you'll be dancing on streets of gold. Because there'll be see, heaven is so intense that even the picture that God gives us in Revelation isn't going to be sufficient for us to fully grasp it, which is why Scripture says, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared. Can't even enter your mind. You get a picture, you get a glimpse, but you'll never fully know it until we're there. All you get is, look at the streets are made of gold. The rest of this place is going to be pretty cool. Right. That's what makes it worth it. When you're a child of the Spirit and not a child of the flesh, your destination, your inheritance is what makes it worth it. You know, if you had a rich trillionaire uncle and he died and left you money, you'd be like, yeah, it's my inheritance. You have something bigger. You have the King of the universe sharing his wealth with you. That's your inheritance. That's pretty good. Yeah, it's not too shabby, you got to say. Got to like that. Children of the Spirit, not children of the flesh, not children of the world, but children of God. Okay? All right. How many books in the New Testament, folks? 27. 66 total, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. Okie dokie, and take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com. Or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-484-6637. 503-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
What is the David Spoon experience?
Now, he's crying. Now, I was still of the mindset that men don't cry, okay? Just so you can know. And I'm getting mad because it's my story and he's crying. And I'm thinking, it's my story. Why are you crying? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. And he's crying. He's apparently a good crier. I don't know what a good crier is. I learned after my dad died, but I mean, somewhat. But this is real, you know, he's sobbing. And I'm like, and he looks up at me after he's cried for about a minute and a half. And his eyes are red. And he looks at me and he says, "This is how the Lord hurts for you." And that was it. Bam. It was like somebody just took a hammer and broke my hard heart and my, you know, my pride attitude and my over arrogance and my everything. Looking at that guy showing me crying and tears, and all I could think of was Jesus wept.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM. Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach out to us, you can still do so. 214-210-8483. That's the number to text, not call. However, next week we will have an opportunity for you to also call on a different number. So you'll have multiple opportunities to reach us. Here's the last trivia question that we're aware of in or from Spoon Studios. Ready? Here it is. Where did David spare Saul's life for the first time? It's two times it happened. Where was David when he spared Saul's life? Told you this one would be a little tougher. 214-210-8483. We'll give the answer at the end. 214-210-8483. That's the number you want to text. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. That's a good way to do that. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. And now let's hear from our next ministry partner.
Well, we're moving on up, moving on up to the east side, to a deluxe apartment in the sky.
Men of God Moving, and our good friend Johnny Hill, really, 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 really excited. So what we're going to do is we're going to get back into the studio, and Johnny's going to call in on a landline, and we're going to do a couple of segments together. So that's how we'll do that. Just keep in mind, if you want to reach them, menofgodmoving.com. You can also reach them through hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. We have a link to them. They've done great service for people in our audience already, and you really have a sincere opportunity to save some decent money if you do this, if you do a moving process with them. Moving is, I mean, it's just never-ending. You know, it's probably not people's favorite thing to do, but they will do the best they can to make it as painless as possible. So get in touch with them, Men of God Moving, menofgodmoving.com, or connect through our website at hemusincrease.org. Okay. Question, last trivia question on the board. Where did David spare Saul's life for the first time? There were two times that David spared Saul's life. The first time, all I'm going to tell you is, where was the location? He cut a piece of his clothing. Where was he when that happened? Oh, where were they? Maybe we'll just put it that way. Let's close this out and keep it simple. I really want to communicate this better than I've been doing. I'm a little excited to get in the studio because it's a little easier than holding the phone. I mean, my hand goes numb by the end of the hour. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24 through 26 say this. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Okay? So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came. In order that we might be justified by faith. How are we justified? By faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. How are you sons of God? Through faith. Okay. The law. The law. And I know people are thinking the law. Well, you're talking about the entire Old Testament. No. The law really lays itself down from Exodus on. There were natural laws, but this is talking about the written law. The natural law was that people were going to die because they sinned. Even though you didn't have to really reiterate that, people were dying, so it was already happening. Even though people didn't necessarily know all of the stories throughout the entire planet, people were still dying all over the planet. And keep in mind that pre-law was Abraham. Before, in fact, the New Testament takes time to explain that before the law, Abraham was connected to God, was considered righteous by God, because the faith that he exercised was exactly what God was looking for. The faith that everybody used in the Old Testament was looking towards the cross, and everybody from the New Testament past is looking back to the cross being the central point on all of it. But the law, the written law, the Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy part, really it's Exodus, Leviticus, and Deuteronomy, the 613 or 619, depending on whether your rabbi likes you or not, the law was our guardian and our tutor, like immature heirs who have not yet reached the access point to their guaranteed inheritance. In other words, it's somebody who's watching out for this person, watching out for you and I, until you get to a certain age and a certain maturity where you can handle it on your own. Okay, so this is really important. It's really important to understand the tutor part. Okay, let me help you. I had a tutor. In fifth grade, I went to private Hebrew school. In sixth grade, I went back to public school. In seventh grade, I was doing my bar mitzvah. The public school, Hebrew school, was okay, but not great. And so my parents hired a private tutor for me to learn my Haftorah. And he would come to the house way too many times, and we would go over my Haftorah word for word. He was my tutor. And we would go over this portion. I had to read the portion out of Genesis 39 and 40 in Hebrew. That was my bar mitzvah, right? And he sat with me, and he sat with me, and he sat with me, and he sat with me. Up until December 7th, 1974, which was the date of my bar mitzvah, when I had to go up in front of the audience, which they had a rabbi from Great Britain come in, so there was 1,000 people or 2,000 people, and I had to share my Haftorah. Well, the tutor walked me all the way through it until I had to actually do it, and then I actually did it, and I didn't even make any mistakes. It was pretty flawless, pretty good. The idea was the tutor brought me to that point, and then I offered my Haftorah, and I was bar mitzvahed. That's what it's talking about. The law brings you up to the point, tutors you to the point, gets you to the point where you can understand that you are now mature enough and have the access point to God through Jesus Christ. And because of that justification that comes by faith, you are now grown up, as God says it. Here's the biggest key. Ready? I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it gets said enough. None of this is by effort
but by reception. This isn't you. This isn't me. These are gifts that God has given us. Guess what happens when somebody gives you a gift? You say thank you and you rip off all the stuff on it and you open it up and see what you got. But you receive the gift and then you enjoy the gift. I mean, as long as it's not like a fruitcake. And then you're like happy about the gift. Well, the gift that God gave is this right standing with Him, where we receive the full right standing and all the rights and receivership that go with it because of Jesus Christ. We were brought to the point, and the point was understanding justification through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. And if you're out there and you have not acknowledged, surrendered, submitted, yielded, and acknowledged the gift that God has given through Jesus Christ, through His life, you are justified. Through His sacrificial life, your sins are paid for. If you have not ever done that in your life, do it right now so that you don't miss eternity, because you don't know when the trumpet's going to blow for you or for all of humanity. You are justified by faith. It's not by effort, it's by reception. You're no longer being tutored by the law. We've come to a maturity or access point in Jesus, and we are His sons now, the sons of God, in full standing of rights and receivership, which means we have all the benefits that go with being a child of a father. And it's like, okay, I'll take that all day long. What do I got to do? I got to receive it. Okay. You can't earn it. You either take the gift, say thank you, and open it up, or you reject the gift. That's it. There is no middle ground. There's no, well, you get pampered this. No. You either receive it or you reject it. And one of the ways to receive it is to acknowledge God's gift to you. You repent, you confess, you acknowledge, you surrender. I don't care how you say it all. I mean, just think about this. Every prayer is a sinner's prayer. You just don't realize that. Bottom line, it's all by reception of the goodness of God. Isn't that cool? I just love that. Okay. One person got it right. Joy, you got it right. It was at the cave. Good job. Excellent job. Very, very, very good. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. 71-hour break, then we'll be back live in studio. See you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.